Ephesians chapter 1. And I sometimes forget to do this, but I want to welcome those that are joining us via the internet. We're always thankful when we hear from people that have been listening to the messages, and we do almost every week. And of course, we're back on tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern Time on every Sunday morning, starting about 11:15. And so we appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that the messages will be a blessing to you. And they are also accessible if you miss the messages and want to go back and listen to them. They're on our website. Links to our messages, video and audio, are on our website, which is www.understandingyourbible.com. All one word, typed understandingyourbible.com. And you can go there, and there's articles and information. And we just appreciate the opportunity to be broadcasting via the internet, and hope it's a blessing to the folks out there that are listening. All right, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about blessings. And I've kind of got to go a different direction in this. I mean, this is something you could talk about continually. We start talking about the blessings that we have in Christ. But what I want to talk to you today about is some of the misconception about the blessings and how we are blessed. Most of the religious world today, I would say the majority of it, will tie our being blessed to something that we do in our flesh. They'll say that if we will do this, then God will bless us. Well, conversely, if you're going to say that, then when bad things happen, you would have to say that's a result of that which you are not doing or that which you're doing wrong. The fact is that our blessings are in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the things that we're going to deal with this morning, the primary thing really, is does God bless America today and does God bless nations in general? And if not, why not? And why is there so much confusion about this issue? Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. All of my life, I have heard that it's important that we as a nation bless the nation Israel, that we help them, that we somehow provide for them. Now, blessing Israel and siding with them in political and economic and a battle and that kind of thing are two different things, you understand. But the idea is presented today that in order for us as a nation to receive a blessing, that we need to bless the nation Israel. Now, in thinking about that, obviously we have the verses that we're going to read in Genesis chapter 12. Let's read those first in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will, now here's the, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, at face value, people can read that, and they can say, okay, that's very clear then. God will bless those that bless the nation Israel, the seed of Abraham. But we find in the Scriptures many things that reveal to us that while that may have been true in the past, that that is not true today in the dispensation of the grace of God. And as I was thinking about this, I asked myself the question, who would really profit by teaching that you ought to bless Israel? Israel. Who would profit by teaching that you ought to bless Jews? Jews. It's sort of like the prosperity gospel today that preachers preach. You know who profits from the prosperity gospel? The preachers preaching it. The people don't get anything out of that. Oh, they're made to think that they do. They're told that they do. But look at those that are preaching the prosperity gospel. It's working real well for them. I bought a new car. When I say new car, to me, it's just new to me. I bought a 5-year-old car with 70,000 miles on it, and it's new. Somebody said, well, you must be preaching that prosperity gospel. I said, no, if I was preaching that, I'd have a Mercedes 450 SL. And be flying to these Bible studies, not driving. Well, the point is, folks, is that there is a reason today that people believe that we ought to still be blessing Israel. And one of the reasons is that they don't rightly divide the word of truth. I'm going to show you through the scriptures that it would absolutely be impossible for us to bless Israel today as a nation. You know why it would be impossible for us to bless them as a nation? Because in God's eyes, they are not a nation. They are not God's people today. And you can prove that through the scriptures. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that Israel, number one, today and even in time past, Israel were not simply those that were of the seed of Abraham. That's a misconception. He says there, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. You see, Abraham, number one, he had two sons. So you got to decide, well, which one are you going to bless if you're going to bless his seed? Because he had Jacob and Esau. Well, Romans chapter 9 speaks to that. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 9 in verse 6. Romans 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Pretty enlightening verse. Now notice, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So it was Isaac was the true seed of Abraham. It was through that lineage that the nation Israel was to come. It was not simply all the seed of Abraham. It was through Isaac, he said, shall thy seed be called. That is, that which are of the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, notice, are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And don't get hung up on the verse, because it's easy to show through the scriptures that when he says that about Esau and Jacob, it has to do with the nation that comes forth out of them. And there are references to that. We won't take time to go there. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So it's very clear in this passage that the inheritance of Abraham was passed to Isaac and not Ishmael, and from Isaac to Jacob and not to Esau. Therefore, the physical line of advantage, as far as the seed of Abraham is concerned, was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, if you look at the first verse there, in verse 6 it says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You see, there is another Israel that comes out of that physical seed, and it is an Israel that has to do with faith, the faith of Abraham. Look back in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, Deuteronomy 10. Now, all this is significant, folks, because if people are going to bless the nation Israel, number one, they would have to know who the nation Israel is. They'd have to identify them. Say, well, it's all those people that live over there in Israel. No, not biblically, that was not the case. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, notice in verse 15, let's just start in verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. By the way, that verse right there is one of the conditions that would be required for them to receive the blessing of God. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Now notice, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Now what's he talking about there, circumcise your heart? He's talking about believing Israel versus those that were not of the faith of Abraham, did not believe. As a matter of fact, when you go over to Matthew chapter 3, turn over there to Matthew 3, when John the Baptist first comes on the scene, he addresses this issue of Israel and who really Israel is. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 1, now in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice down in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now notice, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We were having a discussion last week in Sunday school, I believe it was, about this thing of repentance. And somebody pointed out in there that every time repentance is used in the Bible, you really have to look at the context of how it is used for it to make any sense. In this particular instance, what is John telling them they need to repent of? What do they need to have a change of mind about? They need to change their mind about the idea that's been presented that simply because you're the physical seed of Abraham, you're part of the blessing, you're part of his people. He said, think not to say within yourselves. And by the way, almost every time you'll find repentance used, you'll also find something about thoughts or thinking. He said, think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children of Abraham. So what he's telling them is you need to understand that just simply being the physical seed of Abraham, even of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not enough. It is that faith that they were looking for. It is that repentance of turning from idolatry and turning to God and receiving his son Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So the true Israel is not simply the seed of Abraham. Neither is it simply the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's of that seed, those that believe and have the faith of Abraham. You remember what God said about Abraham? Abraham believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, if you look over in Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about this true Israel, who Israel really is. In Romans chapter 2, notice in verse 28. In Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, God Almighty sent his son Jesus Christ. The Bible said he came unto his own, that is the nation Israel. There were those that accepted him And there were those that rejected him. Those that rejected him were under the curse. Those that rejected him do not get into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, look in Matthew chapter 21. There's some verses here in Matthew 21 and also Luke chapter 12. Matthew 21 first. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, or verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." The nation Israel as a whole, they rejected the stone. The stone which the builders rejected, he's become the head of the court. That's speaking of Christ. Verse 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." That's not Gentiles, folks. How do we know that? Well, look over in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 30, Luke 12, 30. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now notice the next instruction. "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth." Where do you find in your Bible where they sold their possessions? Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. Who was that? That's that little flock. That is believing Israel. That is that remnant of the nation Israel. That today is the, not today, that was in that time, the true Israel, those that were circumcised of heart. It was not the seed of Abraham. It was not all the Jewish nation. He said, "I'm going to take that kingdom from them and give it unto that little flock." You remember what he told Peter in Matthew 19? Peter said, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And he said, "When the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So what does all that have to do with us blessing Israel? Come on, folks. Who are we going to bless? Find me somebody that's part of the little flock to whom the kingdom was given, taken from the nation. Not only that, the nation Israel, their blessings that God promised them were always associated with their obedience to the law. Go back to Exodus chapter 19. In other words, if God was going to bless them through us, they would have to meet the criteria for their blessings that he laid out in his word. Back in Exodus chapter 19, Exodus 19, verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Well then, what was required of them to be in that covenant relationship? "If you obey my voice and keep my covenant," a conditional promise. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I mean, the video we listened to this morning, it was pointed out, some of the most ungodly people in the world are Jews. They're anti-God. They're anti-Christ. Come on, we're supposed to be blessing a bunch of people that hate The Savior that died on the cross for our sins? Just use some common sense, folks. Why would we bless people that hate the very Savior that we preach? You can bless them if you want to. You can write them a check, do anything you want to. God does not have a nation today. He's got a church. We're members of that church. And if you want to bless a Jew, you know what the best thing you can do for them? Preach the gospel to them. It's not in physical things. Their blessing was dependent upon their obedience, and they failed miserably. Just like you and I would if our blessing was dependent upon our obedience. Thank God this morning that my blessings in Christ are not dependent on what I do or don't do. They were secured in Christ at the cross. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness. Notice, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us. You see, the blessings of God for the nation Israel always were dependent upon their response to His covenants, to His promises, to His word and His will. Now, there's a passage that causes people confusion. Go over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And again, this goes to the understanding of rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus Christ came to offer a kingdom. It was rejected. He said, because they have rejected, I'm going to take that kingdom from them and give it to this little flock of believers. That little flock over in the book of Acts, it grew. We know it grew. And one day by 3,000, another day by 5,000, and we don't have the numbers for the other times, but it was a growing flock. That's 8,000 right there. I'd say that's a pretty good start for a flock. But it grew. However, it did not go nationwide. There were still those that rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Thus, by Acts chapter 8, you find that the apostles that are part of that little flock are being what? Persecuted. And so there's this dispersion from Jerusalem. And the Bible says that those disciples got out of there except for the 12. They remained for a period of time. The point is that in Matthew chapter 25, we have some nations that are being judged. And this probably is one of the key verses that people would use in conjunction with Genesis 12 to try to say that we ought to be blessing Israel. Well, look in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto him, them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto me, unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now I want to ask you something. Would a Christ-rejecting Jew today be counted one of his brethren? No, they wouldn't. His brethren are those of that little flock who show up again during the tribulation period after the church is gone. And at that time, there will be a special blessing for not only the United States of America, but the Bible says all nations that help take care of that true Israel, the Israel of God, that are circumcised in heart and that are truly God's people. They are not just the seed of Abraham, they are God's chosen people. That's the application of Matthew 25. There is no application of that today, and there is no blessing for us today in blessing the nation Israel, because they are simply a nation in name only, not as far as God is concerned. The book of Hosea says they are lo ami, which means not God's people. Now, as I said a moment ago, don't misunderstand. There may be times when we would benefit from us being allies with Israel, militarily, economically, politically. I mean, come on, we're going to side with them or the Muslim nations that are against them. But it has nothing to do with us receiving a blessing from God. And by the way, anybody that tries to proclaim the idea of that verse, can't even think of where it is, Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, so forth, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Come on, folks, that is a specific promise in relation to Israel. His people turning. What I'm trying to get to is this. The blessings of God today are not bestowed upon a nation. Anybody that tries to present to you the idea or even hint at the idea that we live in a Christian nation is absolutely absurd. There may be some Christians in the nation, and it may be that our founding fathers had some guiding principles in relation to the Word of God and so forth, but we, as far as I can tell, never have really been a Christian nation, and certainly are not today a Christian nation in any shape, form, or fashion. So we can sing God Bless America, and we can pray for God's blessings on America. God ain't blessing America, folks. He's blessing people. How is He doing that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Where is righteousness today? It's in the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look over in verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now I want you to go over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. You see, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to understand how God is operating today. Was there a time when God was blessing people as a result of their treatment of Israel? Yes, there was. You remember the story back in Joshua chapter 6 of Rahab the harlot? She helped Israel. She received a blessing for it. In Luke chapter 7. I'll tell you what, hold on, look back in Luke chapter 7. Let's just notice that before we look at Galatians. Just to show the difference. In Luke chapter 7. In verse 1. Luke 7, 1. Now when He, that's Christ, had ended all His sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto Him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto Him that elders of the Jews, beseeching Him that He would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought Him instantly, saying that He was worthy for whom He should do this. Notice, for He loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Well, there's obviously a blessing associated with blessing Israel. This centurion had built them a synagogue. He had helped them. But I want you to notice over in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 in verse 26. He said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now here's the key verse. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." How in the world could it be a blessing today and blessing a Jew when God doesn't even count a Jew a Jew? Neither does He count a Gentile. We're all one in Christ. In the body of Christ, all the distinctions have been done away with. So, look in Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians 1. You see, there's something about our pride and so forth that makes us want to believe that somehow God is blessing us as a nation as opposed to others. Well, let me tell you some of the blessings that we have today. Number one, we have the blessing of men who have believed the Bible means what it says and have preached it. But it's to individuals. We have the blessing of God's preserved word. And according to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, we have all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Now, I know that y'all like to get out at 12, but I just happen to have here my list of 80 spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. If I take 2 or 3 minutes each, we'll be out by about 3 o'clock. So I'm not going to do that. Because I don't want to be here by myself, and I would be. Because y'all would leave on me. I'm just saying, folks, people today want some physical sign of God's blessings. They believe the blessings are in healing. They believe the blessings are in financial prosperity. They believe the blessings are material blessings. And that's not to say that many blessings don't show up in that form. For example, I believe that one of the greatest blessings we have as members of the body of Christ are the other members of the body of Christ. Shows up in a physical way. God uses His body to function in the dispensation of grace, but our blessings are in Christ. They're all secured by Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's 2 or 3 things in closing here this morning I want you to keep in mind. Number one, the blessings are in no way tied to our performance. And they are not just individual blessings for one person and others for another when it comes to our spiritual blessings. You see, that's what makes those so wonderful. If you trust it, if you're not saved this morning, let's say you're not saved. Hopefully everybody is. But maybe there's somebody listening to this message not saved. And this morning, or whenever you hear this message, you trust in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and you accept the free gift of salvation. I've been saved now for about 40 years. At the moment you get saved, if it was this very moment, you would have every spiritual blessing that I've had for 40 years. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And the wonderful thing about the blessings that we have in Christ is they are not conditional. He mentions some things right here. He says in verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Does that change if you're good or bad? Does that change if you come to church or don't come to church? Does that change if you smoke cigarettes or don't smoke cigarettes, or drink a beer or don't drink a beer? No, you have redemption through His blood, folks, regardless of what you do. Why? Because they're all spiritual blessings, and notice they're in Christ. Everybody wants to claim the promises made to Israel. I don't. Because if you're going to claim the promises made to Israel, you got to take the opposite too. And that is the curses. And you know what? God will never curse us. If things are bad happening in your life, it's not a result of God doing that. It's because you're living in a sin-cursed world. But Jesus Christ became a curse for you. And your position in Christ has nothing to do with what's going on in your life day by day. There are people here who are hurting because of things that are going on in their life. They hurt because of the sickness of a loved one or the some conflict that's going on in life or whatever. Listen, that doesn't change who you are in Christ. You see, if we try to measure God's love on the basis of what's happening in our life, we're going to be in a miserable state continually. You want to measure God's love for you? There's only one thing you have to do, and that's look at the cross. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And when He saves you and gives you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're redeemed. You're bought with a price. You're reconciled to God. You've been saved by grace. You've been justified by His grace. You've passed from death unto life. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It's almost endless. And the good news is you didn't earn any of them. And you don't have to do anything to keep them. There are things that are imparted to you through and by faith. The spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. You see, physical blessings can be all over the place. I mean, think about trying to judge God's love or His care for you based on your physical circumstances. You know what? Everything's going real great one day, making good money, everything's wonderful, nice house, good car to drive. Oh boy, God loves me. A week later, you're laying flat or you're back in the hospital. You're suffering. There's problems in the marriage. There's problems in the family. Oh, God, where did your love go? Why don't you love me anymore? I'll never forget some of the last words my dad and I ever shared together when he was dying of cancer. The last time I ever visited with him, he looked me in the eye and he said, "I just can't understand why God is doing this to me." I said, "Daddy, God's not doing that to you." I said, "Adam did that to you." He said, "What?" I said, "We suffer because we're in a body of flesh. You don't suffer because God's trying to get your attention and get back at you. Listen, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And they never change. Because they're in Christ Jesus. Don't ever try to judge the love of God based on your physical circumstances because they change continually. And most of the time, they're not all that good. Mary's mother gave me a philosophy to live by years ago, and I've never forgotten it. We were having some pretty rough times, and she said, "You know, nothing real bad or real good lasts real long." She said, "The fact is that most of life is just kind of middle of the road." She said, "So if something's going on real good, enjoy it, because it ain't going to be there very long." And she said, "If it's real bad, endure it, because that too will pass." You know the thing doesn't change? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Doesn't come from what you do for another nation, another person. It comes through your Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it started with the greatest of all, and that is the wonderful gift of His grace and salvation. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, I invite you to do that today. I only invite you to, I encourage you to. Acknowledge the fact that He hung there on that cross and died for your sins and paid for all of them, and then just simply by faith accept that free gift of salvation. You pass from death into life, from darkness to light, and receive the reconciliation that God made through His Son, Jesus Christ. And be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'll save the last 73 for another time. I just got down through seven of them. Would you stand me for prayer?